Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the MMA Fan Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Stu and Blake.
Hello and welcome to the MMA Fan Podcast. I am Blake Harrison with a fancy new brick wall backdrop here. Love it. And joining me as ever is Stu Whiffin with his yet again backdrop for a different podcast that he does, because he's keeping it super professional over here on the MMA Fan Podcast. Stu, how are you?
I'm all right, mate. I'm all right. So that backdrop, I'm in the office today.
Go on, give it a plug. What's it for? Go on.
It's just for me hardcore listening podcast, and I don't really want to talk about it, but it's me and my co-host Chris, where we get guests in. Sometimes we don't, and we ask them to pick a subject, and we count down a top five within it.
There you go.
But yeah, I'm really gutted that you've debuted your new brick wall wallpaper, and I haven't got my brick wall wallpaper. Because normally I record from the shed.
Yeah, I'm sort of glad. I think it would look a bit weird for anyone that's watching this on YouTube. It would look like we're both sort of in the same room, but not. Yeah. It would look really strange. But yeah, so I'm kind of glad. But that will come. Stay tuned. One day it'll be a double brick wall coming.
The fact that as much as you've got that wall behind you, it looks great, by the way. And I know you've been away. We'll talk about that, I'm sure, when it comes to how you watched the event of the week. And you're looking very fresh-faced, and you look like you're rejuvenated and ready for this episode, which is good. One of the things that hasn't changed is you've still got that football shirt in the background, haven't you?
Yeah. Well, it's a piece of you know, sporting history. It's a piece of sporting history where I scored the winning penalty at Soccer Aid for England.
I wanted to let you thumb that one in because you let me plug my podcast. So I thought I'd just get. Let's let him have another little shout about his penalty.
Know, funnily enough, I was literally just having a poo while I was waiting for you to get on the Zoom. And Soccer Aid put up something about who should take a penalty in the 90th minute, blah, blah, blah. And someone put up me, and then they put a never forget thing with this amazing black and white picture of me after I'd scored it. So quickly get on the socials and you can check out where I recently tweeted that amazing picture. So, but enough about my amazing sporting achievements that have, you know, got everyone talking.
Talk the big fights. But just quickly, I don't know too much about it, but I've seen something online just through the nature of his posts. Nathaniel Wood is injured.
Yes. Yeah, Nathaniel Wood will be out of the London pay-per-view against Lerone Murphy. I saw the video of it. He did a takedown on someone, but it was kind of towards the edge of the mat, and I think he's hit some kind of wooden I don't know what you would call it, but whatever keeps the mats in place.
Yeah.
Like a skirting, kind of wooden skirting type stuff around the mats, and he split his knee open. And it looked quite nasty. It looked quite bad. So, Nathaniel Wood continually with the bad luck at the moment, it seems.
Looking so incredible as well.
Has been looking great at 145. And him versus Lerone Murphy, as much as I personally would like to see a lot of the British fighters kept separate, because I want to just root for one of them, you know. And But this would have been a cracking fight, I think.
Yeah.
I think Nathaniel Wood, Lerone Murphy, that would have been a really, really good fight. And I think the winner of that had a really good claim to a ranked spot in the featherweight rankings. But he, there you go. It's just crazy how many Brits we've got doing well at featherweight. I mean, Jack Shaw's going to make his featherweight debut on that London pay-per-view as well. And then obviously Lerone's doing well. Nathaniel Wood's been doing well. Arnold Allen should be a freaking interim champion as far as I'm concerned. If he'd have got that shot. But there you go. We'll get onto all of that. So there.
Tell me how you watched it.
So I was just in Rotterdam for my wife's birthday and a little bit Valentine's Day as well. And so I woke up on like Sunday morning. Her birthday was a Saturday. Woke up Sunday morning and I was like, oh, do you want to watch Volk? But she's actually a big
They're
Volk
the words
fan.
That every woman wants to
I
hear.
I know, yeah. Hey, baby. Wanna watch Volk? But she's actually a big Volk fan. She loved the Ortega Volkanovski Ultimate Fighter series and all that stuff. Yeah. So she really likes Volkanovski. So she was up for it. And we watched that. But then after that, I had to find pockets of time to watch other fights. So some of it I was watching on like the Eurostar back home with terrible signal. Yair Rodriguez versus Josh Emmett, I was watching like in a spa. in like the hotel spa with like randoms around me, all relaxed.
You have an hard life, don't you, Blake? What an hard life you have.
Well, we were on holiday for my wife's 40th. So there you go. I think Jack Della Maddalena, I sat down on the toilet having a poo. I watched Jack Della Maddalena. That was a nice quick one. That was good. The fight was quicker than my poo. That was good. Just found pockets of time. So I would love to have done this chat.
Yeah.
Having rewatched Volk Islam, because that's what's going to take up the bulk of our time, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
Rewatching Volk Islam, I think, would be important. But I think we should kind of just see, because we haven't spoken at all about this. So I don't know how
WhatsApp
you scored it.
Our WhatsApp group's been quiet on that as well.
It's been quiet, yeah. So I don't know how you scored it. Did you score it for Volk or for Islam? Because there's been controversy. We put up a poll actually, and I'm going to get the. I didn't expect to start with this, but I'll start with it just to give listeners. If you haven't been following us on the social, every now and again it's Reb. Every now and again we do a little poll where we ask some questions. I think we might try and start doing more of it, but I put up a poll on Twitter asking, poll on Instagram, sorry, asking who won. And there was like, I don't know, like well over 100 votes or whatever. And 60% of people thought Volk won the fight. 40% thought Islam won the fight. Obviously, the judges gave it to Islam. And I'll tell you another poll afterwards, but let's stick with that. What was your thoughts on the scoring of the fight? Did you agree with the result, or do you agree with 60% of our listeners that Volkanovski won the fight?
Right. When I watched it live, so I woke up and watched the two fights that I guess we're going to probably spend most of this episode discussing. I think it's important... Of course I wanted former guest of the show, Alexander Volkanovski, to win. Of course. And I thought he fought fantastically.
Yep.
I think people wanted him to win really badly.
Yep.
And me being one of them. And so everything he was doing was being magnified in my head. But when it got to the card, when it got to the announcement, I did think Islam had won. I hadn't broke it down round to round at the time because I was just sort of watching it, you know, in the early hours, and I just wanted to kind of not have any distractions, and I just watched it. And I thought Makhachev done enough, and I don't think Volk done enough to take the championship. Second watch.
Oh, you've watched it twice?
Hmm.
Good on you. All right, this is what I'm interested in. Go.
Second watch, I kind of think that Volk might have took it. It's see, I'm ultimate fence sitting here because I've just said one. Now I'm saying the other.
But it was a close fight. Like, yeah, there are but I also out think a lot of it robbery, was and it's not a robbery.
No, it's a very close fight.
So no. go on. Why do you think Volk won it on a second watch? Because this is what I need to do a second watch.
Because I think at first, like, when he finished, obviously, the fifth round, ground and panned in, it was like, literally, I was like, fucking hell, and it cuts, and there's, like, Izzy and, like, you know, Hooker and that, and they're all high-fiving, and it's like, you know, he's got it. But I had that pang in my belly that he hadn't. I don't think he'd done it. What rounds did you give to Volk on first watch?
I was sort of trying to make little notes as the fight was going on.
Yeah.
And obviously I've got my wife next to me being like, why is it good that he's switching stances? Why this? Why that? And I'm like trying to sort that out. But firstly, I'd like to say that I was super impressed with both of them. I think I both overestimated and underestimated both fighters in different parts of their game.
Yeah.
And I think Volk's ability, his strength and his takedown defense or ability to get back up most of the time, all that stuff impressed the hell out of me. And I think that's a big part of the narrative coming out of the fight is that people are going, we expected Islam to smush him. And I did a little bit expect that as well, if I'm honest. And he did so well, so well at getting back to his feet, keeping it striking at times and all that kind of stuff. But Islam,
that's what you're leaning on, though, isn't it? It's like you're applauding him for getting back up. I'm just saying, emotionally, you think, yes, he's up, but that's not, he's not getting taken down.
No. I like to think I kept it pretty unbiased. I did want Volk to win, but I was predicting Islam and thinking Islam would win. So I'd like to think that was kind of counterbalancing itself a little bit. And I was pretty unbiased, but I was impressed with his ability to get up, but I wasn't scoring his ability to get up. But I was very, very impressed by it. And then, but equally,
I think a casual would.
Someone that doesn't know the criteria that well, I think possibly would, particularly if they were aware of the narrative of the fight going into the fight. Then I think they'd be like the crowd in there just going, yes, he's got to his feet, yes.
Yeah.
But I was equally impressed whenever you had moments where Volk was about to engage in a combo, something in the striking, and Islam was able to stick out a jab or a right hand and land it. And Volk was even nodding as if to say, yep, okay, you got me there, well done.
A few times.
And quite a few times. I was massively impressed with Islam's striking. It was felt very fundamental, but it felt good enough to
keep
him
at
bay. It was very, very effective. So I was impressed with both fighters. And I really thought it was a fantastic fight. In terms of breaking it down round by round, I made some notes. I loved the fact that the Australian crowd was just shouting, Islam's a wanker, at the start of the fight. I just loved that. I made note of that. I was like, yep, brilliant, thank you.
Don't hear the word wanker that often, do you, on sports?
Well, not on sport in UK. Like, obviously, like,
yeah, of course,
wanker, all that stuff. Like, in British sports, you hear it all the time. But it is weird to hear an MMA crowd use the word wanker. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I think we need to use it more. Because it seems like one of those sort of like, obviously, it's an offensive term, but it's not got the vitriol or the nastiness of some other terms. So, you know, Islam's a wanker by the Australian fans. I enjoyed it. But I thought that because Volk clocked Islam quite early, knocked him back. And then after they got into a bit of a flurry, into a bit of a brawling situation in that first round, Volk takes a shot from Islam that makes him sort of drop to his knee. The Islam partially lands his head kick. So I had to give round one to Islam because I thought he landed the more damaging shot, even though Volk had his moments. But I felt like Islam did that. Round two and three, I think, are both really tricky ones to score. I said that Volk kind of dropped Islam, but Islam got the takedown and worked from there a little bit. But then Islam kind of rocked Volk. I was leaning Volk at the end of round two, but I kind of felt that after watching the replay as well, it looked like maybe Volk's shots didn't land quite as cleanly as they looked in real time. So, but obviously judges don't have that luxury of sure. the replays or that kind of thing. So I went for Volk off of my first instincts, but I think you could easily give round two to Islam as well. Round three, Volk did something that caught him up really badly in round four, which was he got a bit distracted at times, or like he was playing to the crowd or the corner or whatever. And in round three, he got taken down because he looked like he was getting distracted. But then he got back to his feet. And then Volk came on a bit stronger at the end. But I think I gave the round to Islam, just about. But again, super close round. Two and three, I think, could have gone either way. But I went with Islam. Round four, Islam's got that body triangle on him. An amazing entry. He dropped so low to get that takedown in round four. It was a thing of beauty in terms of a takedown like that. It was really amazing. And then, Volk didn't really do much. You get those little tiny strikes from when Islam was behind him, but Islam controlled him for so long. I don't know. I mean, Ariel Helwani had Volk on recently, and he was saying you could make an argument that you won round four to Volkanovski, because he was, even though he wasn't really doing anything, it was those little tiny peppery strikes. He did maybe more than Islam, but Islam was sort of threatening chokes a little bit. It's just that Volkanovski was defending them well. I didn't feel like enough damage was done to really give it to him over Islam there. So I gave round four to Islam, and I thought that was relatively clear. And then Volk won the most definitive round of the whole fight in that fifth round. That ground and pound that towards the end, he seemed to be kind of just... Makhachev seemed to really start to wilt. The cardio seemed to go, all that stuff. So I scored it 3-2 in favour of Makhachev. But as I say, I think rounds 2 and 3 could have gone either way. It could have been 4-1 Makhachev. It could have been 3-2 Volkanovski. So I think it could go either way. At the end of the day, what it's made me feel is I want to see this fight again.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I did another poll I think this one was Twitter, and I said, do you want to see a rematch between Volk and Islam? 70% of the people said yes, 3% of people said no, and 27% of people was this other one. I said yes, but not next. And I sort of agree with the yes, but not next. I think I'd like to see them both go away and defend the belts and possibly come back again. Like,
I see a problem now.
Go on. What's the problem with that?
Right. So Volk beats Yair, right? And then he's like, and Arnold beats Max. And then it's like, right, Arnold gets the shot. No, Volk's going back to lightweight to fight Islam. And then Arnold ends up getting another fight that he don't need. The whole world is conspiring to go against Arnold Allen. I'm telling you.
I didn't think of that. And I hear you. And as a British MMA fan, I echo your concern about that. But I think the world won't care. Like, the Britain will care. UK MMA fans will care. Fan of Arnold Allen's will care. But the majority of the MMA world will go, we need to see this fight again. But you could do another interim. You could do something like that. I don't know. Because I just feel like... I really want to see Benny Dariush get his shot. I know it looks like he's going to be fighting Oliveira, although I don't think that's official yet. But I really want to see Benny Dariush get the shot. I think it's unfair if he doesn't. And Volkanovski was on Helwani's show, and he was saying the point of an interim champion is to be there when I'm not there. So the majority of interim champions we see in the UFC... it's like an interim belt's been made just to kind of jazz up a number one contender fight.
A lot of the time it can come down to if the champ's injured or something like that. Yeah. They can throw something if there's some inactivity or there's some contractual shit going on, and it's like, right, well, we need to get the division moving. I don't always agree with an interim, but I want to just go back.
But can I finish this point about the fact that Volkanovski was saying, an interim champion is supposed to be there while I'm not there. So Yair can go and defend his interim belt against Arnold Allen if he beats Max Holloway, or against, you know, a Tapori or whoever, while Volkanovski is still chasing that lightweight belt. And even if it takes, you know, another 6 months or a year or whatever for him to come back down to featherweight and unify those belts, That's okay if Yair or whoever has got the interim belt at that point. Mm. Do you agree with that? Or do you see it more like the UFC usually say, as soon as there's an interim champion, the belts need to be unified? Do you agree with the way the UFC generally does it? Or do you agree with Volkanovski's idea that an interim champ can be defending the interim belt while I'm away chasing this?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Silver belt.
Yeah, to a degree, but I do think it's... There's been previous interims that I'm just not interested in. This one's enabling Pound for Pound's 1 and 2 to fight.
Yeah.
So that, for me, is interesting because you're seeing history being made there. And I like the idea of that. If it allows that, then I get it. Does Yair Rodriguez want to be the interim champion or does he want to be the champion? Of course he wants to be the champion. Mm-hmm. And it's presuming, it's quite presumptuous of Volk to go, yeah, well, that's you know, he can just sit and defend that for however long. And it's like, well, no, because his career is as valid to him as Volk's is to him. So I think he, you know, by any rights, you want the gold, you don't want the silver. And the interim is always the silver. And I guess if you're... I don't know, if you're getting older or you're prone to injury or whatever, then you, do you want to sit around and fight lesser opponents, and I mean that with the greatest respect, than Alexander Volkanovski, defending a belt that isn't the belt that you want? So it's a weird one. But yeah, the balance is that it's enabling history to be made. And we saw that at the weekend. We saw an incredible fight. And yeah, well, what are your thoughts on that then?
I actually sort of agree with Volk. I don't have much of a problem with it. Like, the UFC don't usually do this. They usually, as soon as there's an interim champion, they unify. But I haven't got too much of a problem with, and I don't mean just for this scenario, I mean in general, an interim champion having one or two interim defenses, because I think in the end all that would do is build up the unification bout even sure. more. So in a hypothetical world, if Yair now defends this interim belt against, say, Arnold Allen in 5-6 months time or whatever, if Arnold Allen beats Max Holloway, I'd obviously want to see Arnold Allen win, but let's say for the sake of this argument that Yair wins. He's not only won the interim belt, he's then defended the interim belt against Arnold Allen. It just builds up even more. God, we got to see him fight Volk.
Yeah.
And I actually don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think that just builds the fight more, gains more interest, more people will pay for the pay-per-view and all of that stuff. Because Volkanovski, despite this loss, is, I think, becoming even more of a star.
He's nothing happened to his stock at the weekend, mate.
I think it grew.
I love the fact that they've kept him as pound for pound, and I agree with that.
I don't agree with that.
Why do you not?
Because he went up and put that pound for pound status on the line, and he got beat. Like, whether you agree, like, that I don't agree with it. Like, ESPN have put out their pound for pounds, and they're tied one-on-one pound for pound. UFC rankings have still got Volker's number one pound for pound. For me, I think if you fight each other, you've put that pound for pound status on the line. It doesn't matter that Islam was 10 pounds heavier. You've gone and you've put it on the line, and you lost. So you're now number two. And that guy's now number one. That's how I see it. A lot of people disagree with that. A lot of people have been talking about, like, no, they've still got Volker's number one because of the size difference. And if Islam was a featherweight or Volkanovski was a natural lightweight, Volkanovski would have won that fight. And I don't necessarily disagree with that statement, but I just think we've seen the fight. It's happened, and Islam won. He's number one now. That's how I see it. Until we see something else happen, that's how I see it.
I should also point out that, you know, I moaned about how boring Makhachev is as a fighter to watch. at the weekend, to echo what you said about his striking, it wasn't, you know, a mauling, but bore fest. And so much of that is credit to Volks being able to get
100%.
Up.
100%. And the way that Islam had that body triangle on him, and Volk was there just G'ing up the crowd, punching him. He said he was saying to him things like, "Oh, I thought you were going to finish me. You're now just trying to survive, aren't you, you little bitch?" And all this kind of stuff. Like, whilst he's in a body triangle with Islam Makhachev, I'm like, you can't love this guy more after that, surely. Yeah. Just like, this guy is great. Like, he's there.
Absolutely.
Where other people bigger than him, heavier than him, have crumbled under that pressure of Islam Makhachev's grappling. He's there taunting him whilst he's on his back.
You ain't got to convince me, Harrison. I said to you, I'm not having this kryptonite that this guy is anything spectacular, right? He's very good at what he does, right? But he is not, like, he's not unbeatable. We saw that at the weekend. Yeah. We saw that, you know, Volk wasn't fazed by them, you know, them situations he was in. As you say, he was literally chatting to him, or he was G'ing the crowd up. And I think if we see this rolled back, we are going to see an Alexander Volkanovski with even more confidence going into that, because he's answered his doubts. Mm. He knows that if he gets taken down, you know, did he say at one point he's not that strong?
Yeah, he did. He's not that strong. That's amazing, isn't it? It's like amazing gym. Things. It's not that strong.
Like, incredible. And so you're going to go into that next time round just thinking, well, he's not that strong. If he does take me down, I'll get up. And I think if we see that run back again, I think we see Volk win.
Maybe. He might respect his striking more, but then Islam will improve as well and do things to improve. I want to see it. I do want to see it. But I tell you what's interesting as well is, do you think now, off the back of seeing more weaknesses in probably both Alexander Volkanovski and Islam Makhachev, weaknesses that we hadn't seen from either of them before, that there's other people in those lightweight and featherweight divisions sort of licking their lips going, oh, you didn't do, like, Benil Dariush could be looking at it going, oh, that's how Volk got up really well, which other people haven't done too much of against you in the past.
Of course.
I'm a really good grappler. I can do that. And then there's other people looking at Islam striking and going, oh, it wasn't flashy, but it was very effective. And as soon as Volk was coming in with this, he was just doing that. And he was able to land. And we might see closer fights going forward with both of these champions now in their own divisions, which could be very interesting.
He was looking tired, as you said, towards the end. And I thought he looked like shit when he was on the scales, Islam. Like, I thought it was like Conor Mendes. He looked fucking gaunt.
He did.
And he looked like that wasn't an easy weight cut. And I think maybe that paid dividends a little bit. And,
but have you seen what's come out about that?
No.
The Dan Hooker tweets?
No.
Dan Hooker's called...
Former guest of the show, Dan Hooker.
Former guest of the show, Dan Hooker. Check out that episode. He put out tweets saying, Islam Makhachev is a tweet. Did you think you could come over to Australia and get a nurse to give you an IV and we wouldn't find out? And before those tweets even went out, Volkanovski did that Helwani chat and it was a pre-record. So the tweets hadn't even come out yet. And Volkanovski made comments about Islam using an IV But Ariel sort of let it go because he wasn't sure what was really going on with it, I guess. But it makes me think there's a bit of smoke here. Could there be a fire somewhere? Islam Makhachev, did he use an IV, which is illegal, before this fight to rehydrate? You're not supposed to. Ever since the Reebok deal, I know we're in the Venom deal now, but ever since the Reebok deal, they brought into place new rules that said fighters cannot use an IV to rehydrate post the weight cut. And it looks like the City kickboxing team believe, I don't know if they've got...
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Proper evidence proof, I don't know. But there's a lot of talk about Islam using an IV prior to the fight after the weight cut, which would be illegal.
I mean, he looked like shit.
He did look like shit. He really did.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, that's interesting. I missed this.
Like, yeah.
And absolutely, if they have got legit reason to believe that that happened, stoke that fire, you know, get that looked at, because it's cheating.
It's cheating. And, I mean, if it was to be found that he definitely did do it, I'd strip him of the belt. But you can't do that. You cannot do that. Like, if that's the rules that are in place, if you've been found guilty of breaking those rules, however silly they might be. I don't know whether it's silly that you can't just use an IV. I don't know why not. But those are the rules that are in place. It gives you an unfair advantage to have used an IV.
Yeah.
Strip. If we found out you've won the belt or retained your belt after doing that, sorry, mate, you're no longer the champion. You're stripped. Belt is vacant. But again, we have to see evidence of this.
Yeah.
We don't know if there's evidence yet. So,
I think what is evident is the fact that Alexander Volkanovski is a superstar now, and like you say, you could not love him anymore. No. Like what the fact that he was getting the crowd to stop booing, when they were booing Makhachev at the end, he's everything you want in a champ, and just always king. You know, loads of charisma, loads of chat, super fair, super kind, and. Yeah, I'm Team Volk all day long and continue to do so. And I'd love to see that roll back. But I'd also... I want to see Volk versus Yair Rodriguez? I don't know. Yair Rodriguez looked fucking incredible.
I really want to see that fight. I cannot wait. Like, to be honest, I was like, yeah. And I will be the first... I'll stand by everything I said about Yair Rodriguez prior to this fight. I don't felt like he earned that shot.
Yeah.
He was like, you know, we went through his last six fights with something like 3-2-1. The last win over Ortega was a weird injury. Before that was the loss to Max. The zombie fight, he was losing until that amazing knockout. Like, all these things.
He made that moment count though, didn't he?
No, and he didn't deserve the fight over Arnold Allen, which we've discussed ad nauseum on this show. But... he performed amazingly well against Josh Emmett. Josh Emmett couldn't live with the diversity of striking that Yair was throwing out there. He just didn't know what shots were coming next. Those naughty little close-in elbows, along with spinning attacks and all sorts of other things. Flying knees. Josh Emmett just couldn't handle it. I mean, he ate a kick to the body that looked like it might have broken a rib. The welt that come up was so bad. It was so powerful.
I know you was watching it in like a toilet in a hotel or wherever you was. The noise that kick made was horrific. And props to former guest of the show, Josh Emmett. Like, lovely guy, and he could take a shot, but he looked a bit lost in there. It looked like what Yair Rodriguez was doing was really dynamic, and the movement was amazing. The variance of strikes was just insane. It was just like, what's next? Yeah. And it's so quick as well. And this is Josh Emmett. This is no joke. Like, you know, this is Josh Emmett fighting, and rightfully fighting for that interim. And he just looked completely outgunned and out of his depth in every element of that fight, unfortunately, you know.
Yeah. Even when he got that flying knee and was able to take him down off the back of it, and once he got down there, I mean, Yair still got that submission. Yeah. Was it his first ever UFC submission or something like that? I'm not sure, but he got that triangle choke.
He got a triangle, didn't he?
But, yeah, it was really... It had to be a performance like that to get me in any way interested in him fighting Volk, because I felt like Volk was levels above Yair Rodriguez in terms of his all-rounded ability. But that performance made me go, oh, maybe I would be interested in seeing Yair Rodriguez versus Volkanovski. But equally, I am hoping, as much as I love Max Holloway, that Arnold Allen beats Max Holloway. If they work out something with this lightweight belt and they think they do need to redo Volkanovski, Islam Makhachev, which I don't think they will. Not right away. I don't think they'll do it. I think they've got their own business in their own divisions now. But if Yair were to fight Arnold Allen, say, I'd be up for watching that as well. Yair has made me interested. And he's made me interested in him as an interim champion if he were to fight other people, or as a challenger to Volkanovski. I'm interested either way now. I think... Go on.
What if you're the UFC, right? So you're going, right, so we could have Islam versus... Benil, or I did see the name Dustin Poirier mentioned actually.
Imagine!
It did get mentioned.
But to be fair, if say for example, because we're talking about our predictions episode now, which if you still haven't listened to, go and check that out. Our predictions for who's going to be champ at the end of 2023. Stu predicted a crazy series of events with the lightweight belt, which ended with Dustin Poirier becoming the lightweight champion of the world by the end of the year. I still can't imagine that happening. If it did, amazing call, but you definitely didn't connect the dots right, because you said Volkanovski would win and then Poirier would beat Volkanovski. But, I mean, you still would get a point, so fair enough. But, no.
But them fights, so Makhachev, you know, fights anybody in the top five in the lightweight division. Yeah. Or Volk fights Yair. He's not going to... I don't envisage, even if Max wins, they'll do Max Volk again. No. So if you're the UFC, do you look at Yair Rodriguez and Volkanovski and Islam versus, let's say, Benil or Dustin? Is that salacious enough and big a sell as Makhachev Volkanovski 2?
It's not as big a sell, particularly the Benil fight. The UFC have done everything they could to kind of, I think, not give Benil the title shot. That just seems to be the way that's going, which is a real shame. Benny deserves it. It's not, but personally, I don't like to see divisions held up for too long, especially when there's quality contenders coming through. Yair has put his head above the parapet now. And he said, I'm here. I've got the interim belt. I've dismantled Josh Emmett. Let's go. I'm ready for my proper title shot. Benny Dariush did that a while ago and should have got a title shot cemented. It hasn't been yet. I haven't got an interest in Islam fighting a Dustin Poirier or anything like that. I don't think they've done enough to earn the shot at him recently. I think it could be really interesting to say... get Islam and Volk to defend their belts say before August. So that gives them like 5-6 months. Let's say before, like within August, by August, they get to defend their belts in whatever.
But what
time
if one of them loses it? If one of them loses them defenses,
well, then it's done.
That fight's gone, isn't it? And it's
But that's okay. I think that's okay. If one of them loses, because if it's
I'm seeing it from a perception of the UFC, because that's the money fight right now. Like, let's say, for instance, Yair beats Volk. Yair versus Makhachev, right? Like, I don't think that's as exciting a prospect.
No, but if you're talking money fights...
Yeah.
Is Islam Makhachev just going to wait and see what happens with Conor and Michael Chandler? Because you've got to think, Conor, obviously, the biggest fight, regardless of what happens. But Chandler, after being... with Conor for 12 weeks or whatever the hell it is on The Ultimate Fighter, gaining that prestige, getting the rub from Conor, as it were, in terms of the star power and the interest and the eyeballs and the fandom and the followers on social media. Will he be a bigger name than Volkanovski come the time that they could fight if Chandler goes through The Ultimate Fighter series and then, say, knocks out Conor McGregor within a round? Then you're looking at that. So in terms of big business and big money, what you really want for Islam Makhachev is probably the winner of Chandler Connor.
And do that at welterweight, because that's where Connor's going to be, I'm sure, if not a super heavyweight.
Well, obviously
and Islam's clearly struggling to make weight.
He is struggling. I don't think Islam's long for this division. I think, but the other thing is, what's interesting is, I think the lightweight belt has only been defended a maximum of about 3 times. I think Khabib, I reckon. But if Islam can keep making the weight, who's a tougher test for him in that lightweight division than Volkanovski?
From what we've seen at the weekend, I don't know.
I don't know that anyone is. I don't know if anyone gives Islam Makhachev the fight that Volkanovski gave him. I mean, Charles Oliveira, he crushed him. Dustin Poirier, I think Islam handles him pretty easily.
What?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Easily?
Yes, easily. I think it's going to be Khabib-esque. I think Islam is a better striker than Khabib, so he'll deal with that aspect of it. And I think he's up there with the wrestling. He's maybe not Khabib level, but he's right up there. And Dustin really struggled with that. Dustin really struggled with Oliveira in that kind of second and third round. So, yeah, I think Dustin will struggle with Islam. I think Islam beats Poirier easily. I think he probably beats Gaethje relatively easily. Benny Dariush is the one with the skill set that makes me go, oh, Benny might be able to
do something.
We
called this fight years ago. We was calling this fight saying before Makhachev even gets the shot, he should go through Benil Dariush. That's the 100%. Fight to prove his wrestling. But to go back to what you said, Blake... would he give him anything more troublesome than what Volk did? I don't know.
I don't know. I think that'd be really interesting. I think Benny Dariush will be looking at that fight between Volk and Islam and hopefully learning a lot.
Yeah.
And then maybe going and doing really well against Islam, because he already had a stick grappling skill set anyway.
Yeah.
And it was a bit more wrestling heavy than, say, Oliveira's grappling skill set. So...
agreed.
I think that could be really interesting. But Benny Dariush doesn't have the striking acumen of Volkanovski. But he is tough and he does hit hard. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I really want that fight. I want Islam Dariush. I really want to see that fight. And I'm up for seeing Volkanovski Yair. And then after that, do you run this one back? Do you go, look, the 2 pound-for-pound best in the world had a fight that was slightly controversial. I don't find the result controversial, but some people found the result controversial. There's the whole IV thing now as well. They've both gone back and defended their own divisions.
Yeah.
Does that boost them up even more and go, we need to redo that fight? We need to really confirm pound for pound who is the number one? I don't know.
I think run it back next fight. I really do. And I mean, I'm really intrigued to know if the UFC have made any kind of statement on this allegations about
Not as far as I can see. No, I haven't seen.
Drip.
I don't think they will either. I think it'd be one of those ones that, like, until evidence is brought forth, it's just fighters, teams having a pop at each other, you know?
And
unless City Kickboxing have evidence, they can get the nurse and be like, this is the nurse that gave him the IV. Then, you know, then that's. Then I don't think there's anything that will come of it. It'll just. Islam's team will deny it. City Kickboxing will say it happened. And that'll just keep happening and that'll be it. In terms of. Unless there's anything more you want to say about those top two fights.
No, I don't think so.
The story for me outside of those top two fights was Jack Della Maddalena. absolutely destroyed Randy Brown. And Randy was doing really well for the first couple of minutes or whatever of the fight, using that range. I love Randy Brown's style. It's so leisurely. It's so... It's just technical. It's really great, but... What I predicted before the fight was that Jack would put the pressure on him and would close that distance and come forward, and that would see Randy crumble. It took a couple of minutes, but that is sort of what happened. I just thought it would happen right from the off. But Jack, when he landed, he folded him. Absolutely folded him with that crisp boxing that he's got. And then went to the back and got the rear naked choke, which I don't think anyone was expecting him to get a submission, but... He got that, so that's another wrinkle to his game now. And I think Jack Della Maddalena now is ranked 14th in the welterweight division from an unranked position. Because I was thinking to myself, who can we give Jack to get him ranked? But he is ranked. He's there now, ranked 14th in the welterweight division, rightfully so. I think this is a guy that the UFC are planning on going back to Australia, apparently. So it's been said, before the end of the year. If it works out with Volk... Great. That's probably what they should do. Volk v. Yair, because it's not fair for Islam to go and defend the belt in Australia again.
Sure.
So that fight would probably happen elsewhere. Maybe it would happen in Abu Dhabi. So Islam feels like he's on a bit more of like a home territory, because obviously they're not going to go to Russia anytime soon. So that's probably what they would do, is do it in like Abu Dhabi so that Islam has a bit more home territory. And if they were to do that, and it freed up that kind of Australia card, and they didn't have Volk as a headliner, you could do a fight night with a Jack Della Maddalena headlining that card. You really could. Obviously, you've got Robert Whittaker and Taito Iwasa, but they're massive names that can fight anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
You could put... And it'd be great to see them headline a card in Australia, particularly Robert Whittaker. I love Robert Whittaker, but... Yeah. But Jack Della Maddalena, like, he could headline the card.
You put Dan Hooker on that card as well. It fills it out a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I'm down with that. Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to see him maybe fight a grappler next, just to see how he gets on. And Neil Magny's obviously coming off that loss to Gilbert Burns. So I think that could be a good shout. Neil Magny versus Jack Della Maddalena. What happens there, you know. All that experience, the winningest welterweight in the history of the UFC now. Can Jack Della Maddalena get past him? And if he can, then I think, you've got to give him big fights. Give him big fights after that. So let's see.
I mean, a few quick shout-outs because we're on limited time today. But Justin Taffer, an incredible counter left hook. Just good night.
It was like Mark Hunt-esque, wasn't it? That walk-off KO style.
Yeah, it was incredible, and put Parker Porter away very, very quickly in the first round. The draw between Jimmy Crute and Alonso Meinfeld, I thought, didn't overly excite me, that fight. I thought it was okay.
Fight, and I thought that the draw was the right decision, because I gave the first two rounds to Menafield, and then the third round with the point deduction, which I'm okay with. I would rather see a change of position. Like, I think a point deduction for the fence grab, sure, I'm okay with it, but I would rather have seen a situation where they go, right, you've grabbed the fence, now you're down and he's in your guard or something that. But I thought it was the right decision because I gave it 10-8 to Crute that last round. What else did you think?
Bukakis, I thought took that fight on a week's notice, I believe, and made it count. you know, got a unanimous win over Tyson Pedro. I thought he looked great.
And
it's quite weird because he, where does he fight out of?
I think he's a UK-based fighter, but obviously he's got Lithuanian heritage. So so I think he's a UK-based fighter, and obviously Will Curry, Cage Warriors fighter, was in his corner, and he gave some really great cornering. He was like, I think it was before the third round, he was saying things like, "Fuck him up, bro. Show the UFC what you're about. Fuck him up, bro." That's like great, great cornering. But it was fun. It was
wonderful.
Good. And I'm really, really happy for Modestus there because, you know, he had that bad injury in the Roundtree fight, was released, gone back to Cage Warriors, won a few fights in Cage Warriors, as you say, a week's notice to fight Tyson Pedro, who was on a bit of a roll since coming back after a few years. He's had two wins on a bounce. And he's come back and he's done the business and he's won on in foreign territory when he was the enemy against the hometown boy. And he's done really well there. So I hope that things keep going well for him in the UFC and he gets a good another run. Because I think he's only young. I think he's only like 31 or something like that, which for a light heavyweight, you know, look at Glover. You know, you could still have a while left in him.
Absolutely. Very impressive win for Gledson Rodriguez.
Oh, my God. That was amazing.
Lightning. Yeah, it really, was
like,
really good.
It was like having like a fighter on Tekken and just button bashing at the end.
That's exactly like, what
just,
it was.
He just went nuts. And he did it at one point. He did a move that can only be described as a spinning bum smash because he just like turned around like he was going to spin, but then didn't really throw anything, but his ass still hit the guy. It's a spinning butt smash. When do you see that? The spinning butt smash from Gledson Rodriguez. It. Love it.
Love it.
Love that. So
one of the doormen at my club, Reese, is a long term listener of this, and he sent me a little message yesterday saying a little video of him re-swiping the podcast to and asking where's this episode because Blake's been away, it's been a bit late. I'm going to suggest the next person that misbehaves at my club that Reese takes him out with a spinning bum smash.
It was great, and I didn't really know much about Gledson Rodriguez before this fight, but it makes me want to check him out because that was like a tornado of chaos right at the end, just like raining like punches on him, just got him hurt, was spinning, doing all sorts of crazy shit. I love fighters like that. I love it.
Yeah.
So more Gledson Rodriguez, please.
Shout out to Jamie Mullarkey, who got a win. Always good to see former Brit. UFC legend Ross Pearson in his corner and Jamie Mullarkey getting a nice decision win, and I think that's pretty much, unless there's anything else on the card that you want to shout out, Blake.
No,
I think that's all she wrote.
I think that is pretty much all that she wrote. I'm just trying to look forward now to what is coming up, but we've got Andrade versus Blanchfield. When did that change? It was supposed to be Erin Blanchfield versus Talia Santos this weekend coming. And now I'm looking at Andrade.
She's fighting.
Talia Santos must have got injured. That is a shock to me.
Wow.
Yeah. And then also, that card, this weekend's card, was supposed to be Chito Vera versus Corey Sandhagen. But I think they realised that maybe they didn't want to do that at the Apex. They wanted a crowd for it or whatever else. So they shifted that fight. And that fight's in now like a month and a bit's time or something like that. But I'm looking at this and just like, this weekend's card is quite thin. There's not a lot going on the card. But Erin Blanchfield, Talia Santos, for me, was a fight I was actually quite looking forward to because I kind of thought Erin Blanchfield or Talia Santos, the winner of that, could be next up for Valentina, potentially.
Yeah.
But now that it's Jessica Andrade, I really wanted to see Andrade drop to strawweight and fight for the belt against Zhang Weili. That's a fight I'm really excited about. I'm not massively excited by this.
Maybe she's just stepped in for a payday.
I think she probably has, and good luck to her. But now what I'm looking at this now, and I just think, I know the UFC was probably in trouble, because they had not long left before this fight and that card was just looking so thin. But Just Grandjage, I'm not interested in seeing her fight Valentina Shevchenko again just yet. I want to see her go and fight Zhang Weili or Rose Namajunas. I'm not interested in fighting Valentina Shevchenko. Erin Blanchfield is definitely someone in the future that could get a title shot. Maybe this is too much too soon, even against Talia Santos. But
It was Blanchfield that went through Molly, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And look, she looks fantastic. And if she beats Santos, you can give her a title shot. If Santos beat Blanchfield, Santos, given the really close fight she had with Valentina Shevchenko, she could get the title shot. But if Andrade beats Blanchfield, you've stopped a contender that has got loads of time to come back, but you're not really getting much from it because I'm not that interested in Andrade versus Shevchenko. I'd rather her pop down. So I'm not overly into this fight. I was more into it when it was Santos, but obviously injuries happen and the UFC had to act quickly, I guess. But yeah, not overly keen on that. The biggest fight coming our way for a while, because the week after that is Krylov Span. Sure, it's okay. It's nothing to write home about. But March 5th is Jones gone. And that card is looking very, very, very tasty. Obviously, we'll do a pre-fight show for that and all that and talk you through it. But that has got, the main card of that is looking very, very nice. And even the prelims are looking good. Yeah, that's going to be a good one. 285 is going to be very, very good.
Nice. And then we're in London.
And we're in London. Still haven't got my accreditation. Have you had any accreditation yet?
Oh, I haven't looked for a week or so. I'm going to have a little look in a minute. I'm
starting to get worried about that news episode we're getting where we slagged off. Rightfully slagged off what Dana White did. But maybe some people listened. We're going to be watching that at home with some chicken wings.
I'm down with that. Well, we'll be back next time. In the meantime, go and check out the back catalogue because, like I say, you can listen to our chat with Volkanovski. It's a great chat. Listen to us chat to Josh Emmett. Dan Hooker. That's a wonderful chat. Go listen to our episodes with Arnold Allen. And we're still trying to find a time when we can get Arnold back on. But needless to say, he's a very busy boy because he has got a big job on his hands. Yeah. We've had a real who's who on in the back catalogue. So go have a good old rummage around there. And you can listen to them all for free. And if you like to watch your podcast, then we're trying to spend a bit more time pushing the YouTube stuff at the moment so you can watch our ugly mugs. Go and check out Blake's new wallpaper over on our YouTube channel. And subscribe there. And like I say, whatever platform you do listen to this on, give it a little subscribe. And we're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. So give us a follow over there and a like, love, share. And any questions you got regarding the world of MMA, always throw them in the inbox because at some point in the future, we'll do a little listener questions episode or something and do something to... to be a bit more sort of interactive with the listeners. I think that's it.
That is it. Thanks very much for listening, guys, and we'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Bye.